In Psalms chapter 55, reading from verse 16 to 18, this will be our last message for now when the subject of prayer. I'm just going to title this message tonight, Crying Out. And prayer and crying out are closely connected, and still yet they're put together in many verses. We find here beginning in verse 16, "As for me, I will cry upon God, I will call rather upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Father, again tonight, we just ask, Lord, your blessing upon the reading of your word. Dear God, we pray again this evening as we've looked at this series on the subject of prayer. We just pray, God, that it be meaningful to us. We can take these scriptures and apply them in our lives. We just ask now tonight, Lord, that you would meet with us. And Lord, teach us, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the sixth message in the series. We looked at effectual prayer, hindered prayer, and accessory prayer, praying through, the incense of prayer and fasting. I just simply want to title it, Crying Out. And we find here that in this passage, and we find the issue of the psalmist calling out unto God. We find deliverance in verse 18, when he had called out unto God. But notice with me in verse 17, where he says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." We find many times in the Holy Scripture where someone has prayed or someone has cried out, or both of these words are used a number of times together. And again, they're very closely connected, between a connection between prayer and crying out, again, even appearing side by side in many verses. Now, first of all, let us consider the meaning of crying out. And I want you to just notice a few passages. Notice here in Psalms, I'm going to just move around just a little bit. And I want to read in Psalms 39. In chapter 39, now this word again we could classify probably as prayer, and still yet we know that when we pray, there's the intercession, there's the thanksgiving, there's the petitions that we bring before God and things of that nature. And really, when we think of the subject of crying out, it is an act of desperation and a fervent expression of our faith. And it's showing helplessness and desperation. We would see this many places. For instance, even, and I'm not turning to these, but in Psalms 9 and in verse 12, it's a cry of despair. In Psalms 145, verse 19, it is a cry for help. In other words, there's a little bit more intensity when we think about the difference between prayer and crying out. And so we'll see a few verses here that whereby this is seen. Now, in Galatians 4:6, it says there, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And the Lord Jesus in Mark 14:36, and it says, "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." We find the word again, Abba, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. But we find, as I just read in Galatians 4:6, crying. This is their heart cry, crying, Abba, Father. We see the same with the Lord Jesus Christ as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane the night, very intense prayer that night before he's facing the crucifixion. So again, this word, when we see it many times, someone has cried out unto God. I'm going to give you some examples of that in a moment. It's an act of desperation. That was true with the Lord Jesus. That's true with many of the saints. It's a fervent expression of our faith. It is has the ideal of helplessness and desperation. In other words, we are in dire need for God to come to our rescue. Well, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 30, where did I tell you to turn first? Chapter 39. Notice with me, I'm going to go to chapter 34 next. But notice in chapter 39, and I'm just going to take an individual verses for a few moments. But he says in verse 12, he said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry." So we find these two words here, as we just said. And he said, "Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were." In other words, we find in this chapter a desperate prayer and crying out for God's deliverance. Notice in chapter 34. In chapter 34, this time reading in verse 17. In chapter 34, verse 17, he said, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Again, this is something we see not only here in the book of Psalms, but many, many other places. You notice in chapter 56. In chapter 56, if you're taking notes, you can write down chapter 61, verse 1. And he says here in chapter 56, reading in verse 9, he said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Again, I just gave you chapter 61, and in verse 1, he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." So again, this is something that's seen over and over and over again. We find in chapter 88, reading in verse 2, and I've just picked out a few of these. Again, this is an act of desperation. He says here in chapter 88, reading in verse 2, "Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry." One more time in the book of Psalms for now. Notice with me in Psalms 102. So we get an ideal of the meaning, an act of desperation, a fervent expression of faith, again showing helplessness and desperation. And we all know what it means to cry out unto God. And now in chapter 102, and I'm going to be reading Psalms 102. Notice with me as we read in verse 1. Then I'm going to give you some examples, some other examples. He said here in verse 1, he said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." So again, when we say the word cry, we're talking about prayer, but a little bit beyond that. Notice when somebody, and we've seen it and we've experienced it, there's that extra intensity, that desperation, where that we just cry out sometimes even with a loud voice, you know, unto the Lord and crying out for help. Now let me give you some examples in the scripture. And first of all, I'm turning to Exodus. In the book of Exodus, and there's two more examples in Psalms I'll give in just a moment. But in Exodus chapter 3, we do see examples, many examples in Scripture. And then they would be testimonies of those we've known, or maybe even testimonies in our own life when we've cried out to God. And we see individuals or even the nation of Israel crying out to God, and we see God responding to that cry. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, this is the story. The children of Israel are in Egypt, and Moses is upon the backside of the desert, according to verse 1, at Horeb, and which would be Sinai. The angel of the Lord appeared himself unto him. This is where the burning bush is at, and where the Lord tells him to take his shoes off, he's standing on holy ground. Well, we find here, I'm going to pick up reading in about verse 7, and notice with me in verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, in the context, the Lord is revealing Himself to Moses. And Moses is the one that God has chosen to deliver the children of Israel. And we find here in the context that he says in verse 8, he's going to deliver them, carry them out of Egypt, bring them into the promised land. And then again in verse 9, he said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So as the children of Israel cried out under the affliction and the taskmasters and the hard labor that they would put under, as they cried out, we find here that the Lord not only hears them, but the Lord meets with Moses, the one to be the deliverer, and the rest of this chapter is describing their deliverance. So we see this here, they were under hard bondage, and they cry out unto the Lord. Several examples are given like this throughout the Scripture. You'll notice with me that as we come to Genesis, and I'm coming to Genesis chapter 21, we have the story of Hagar. And she is sent out by Abraham and Sarah, and with a child. And you'll notice I'm coming to chapter 21. I'm going to pick up in verse 14, chapter 21 and verse 14. And by the way, if you are taking notes, write down Exodus 14, verse 10, because once that Moses went into the children of Israel and, you know, all the plagues, all the things that took place, as they were leaving in chapter 14 and in verse 10, right before they crossed over the Red Sea, it says this, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. This cry of desperation. All right, now notice in the book of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to turn to all of these other places, but I want to give them to you. And they're all important. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 8 and 9, we find that Samuel cried out for God's deliverance of the nation of Israel, and God delivered them. We also, in 1 Samuel 12, verses 10 and 11, Israel is backslidden, and their enemies have come against them, and there they cry out for help from their enemies, and God comes to their rescue. In 1 Kings 17, verses 17 through 24, we find the story of the widow and in Elijah and the widow's son, and the son had basically died. And we find that Elijah comes to her and prays for the son. The son is lifted up, and that's in 1 Kings 17, verse 17 through 24. This is the widow that Elijah had come to, and there was drought in the land, and she only had enough food to make one more meal, and she said she'd make that meal and die, and the preacher said, well, make mine first. And so he ate, and she ate, and he said the oil will never run out, and the barrel will never run out as long as there's a drought in the land, and so it stayed full, and they were fed until things changed. Also in 1 Chronicles 5:20, we find that the Israelite army, they cried unto God. They were surrounded by the enemy, and God gave them a victory. We find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 through 12, Asa, the king, he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him and his people victory. Sometimes they would win the battle, sometimes the angel would take care of the whole thing himself. In 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 31, Jehoshaphat cried out, and again, God delivered him and the people from death. This is something we just keep seeing over and over in Scripture. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20 and 21, he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him victory. In Genesis chapter 21, we're reading from verse 14, and it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child sent, put on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba." And it says, "And the water was spent, and the bottle, she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it was a bow shot. And for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." And of course, God, again, he makes several promises to her and the future of this child. But we, again, we just, I know this is simple, and still yet it's profound that we see that those who not only pray, those who not only fast, that we talked about, but call out in desperation unto God. Now, I want to turn back to Psalms and pick up two other passages here. And one of those is very familiar, and that's Psalms 107. We'll not read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is dealing with those who cry out. And Psalms 107. And I'm going to read the first number of verses here. But what we have in this passage, an interesting passage, and when I preached on it in the past, I've divided it up into four sections. And we find that in verse 4 through 9, there's someone wandering in the wilderness or the desert, and they're hungry and thirsty, and they're fainting, and they cry out unto God, and the Lord hears their cry and comes to the rescue. In verses 10 through 16, there's someone in a dungeon. They're bound in affliction and iron. What they do, they cry out unto God. The word cry is used in verse 6, it's used again in verse 13, and then the Lord delivers them. We find that in verse 17 through verse 22, there's someone basically on their deathbed, and in verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them. And then there are those that are in the deep. They go down to great waters to do their work, their business. And the Lord brings up a storm. And what we find, they're at their wit's end in verse 27, and then in verse 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out. So we find four major sections, or four different groups of people, four different places: the desert, the dungeon, the deathbed, and the deep, or somebody. I mean, when you're in the desert and you're lost, you're in the dungeon and you're in chains, you're on your deathbed, or you're in the middle of the ocean. You can rest assured your prayer will become a little bit more intent, and there will be that crying out unto the God of heaven. But let me just read from verse 1 through 8, and this will kind of show us what's in the chapter. And he said in verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south." Now here it is. Here's the first dire situation. They wandered in the wilderness, in the solitary way, and found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried. There's that word. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And so, again, we see the crying out the deliverance, the crying out the deliverance. Notice one other here in Psalms, and that's in chapter 22. This psalm is written by David. Now, I'm sure in some ways some of these verses apply to him. But this psalm is very messianic. Now, I want to read the first five verses. And this is basically, ultimately, speaking of Christ on the cross during the darkness, of those 3 hours of darkness. And notice as we read this, and he said in verse 1, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabiteth the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. He goes on to describe the details of the people that were against him and so forth. And there are several reasons I believe this is messianic by the way it starts. But also in verse 22 it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? And we find this that really took place, and I believe it's John 20 and verse 17, but also it's mentioned in Hebrews 12, verse 22, the Lord with His disciples in the midst of the congregation. Well, again, we see the Messiah on the cross crying to the Father in anguish, and we do find that as we read through the Scripture and in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5, also mentions his prayer, is that the Father did hear his prayer and answer them. Now, let us come to the New Testament and notice with me in the book of Mark, and I'm coming to chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, the third thought this evening is that when is it time to cry out, or the time to cry out? Notice with me in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to make references to some other verses. When is it time to cry out? Well, obviously, there are many that have cried out to the Lord in desperation and helplessness to be saved. This is how we see it in the Scripture. Many testimonies, and this is what I did. My first prayer that I'd ever prayed in my life was 19 years of age, on my knees, and I literally cried out unto God, 1972. Cried out, I just prayed, I cried out to Him. I was desperate. I wanted to be saved. And we find this in the Scripture. We find in Luke 18, verses 11 through 14, the publican. I mean, he's crying out. I don't know where the word cry is used there, but he's crying out to the Lord. And I'll tell you another one. The dying thief that was repentant. That's Luke 23, verse 39 through 43. You don't think that the dying thief wasn't in desperation? I mean, he's nailed to the cross, and he repents of his sins and asks the Lord to remember him, and he was saved there hanging on that cross. There's other times that we need to cry out unto the Lord to get victory over sin. As I just mentioned, Romans 8, verses 12 through 15, in that context, cry, Abba, Father. That's the way the Lord Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, to get victory over sin, sometimes we just need, and we need to get serious about it and really cry out unto God. But also, there's another time that we need. As we see here in the Old Testament, many of their enemies are surrounding them. We need to cry out unto God for deliverance. In Luke 9, verse 38 through 43, there's a father that's crying out for his son that is oppressed with a devil. I mean, that's a time of desperation before the child hurts himself and or the child dies. So there's that crying out. So like Psalms 138 in verse 3 says, they cried out for strength for the soul, and the Lord answered them, having strength in our soul. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, there are those who cried out, or we're commanded to cry out for knowledge and understanding. In Psalms 119, verses 169, David cried out in that psalm for understanding. And let me give you one other verse before we read in Mark 10. Psalms 119, 145, he says, David writing, he said, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. So again, we find this word cry or crying out is many, many times associated with prayer and with fasting. Well, notice in Mark chapter 10, I'm going to be reading from verse 45 through verse 52. This is the blind Bartimaeus. And it says here in verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life, rather, a ransom for many. They came to Jerusalem, or Jericho, rather. I was looking down through this, and I'm going to read all of this because I think this is important because we've got his story here. And it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, notice that he's sitting by the highway or by the side of the road, he's begging. And when we come to verse 47, we find here that he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And notice in verse 47, he began to cry out. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So we're not talking about a little silent devotion or prayer. We're talking about somebody that's desperate. Now, why is he crying out? He cried, and we're going to find here he even cried louder. They wanted to quieten him, and when they said to get quiet, he got louder. Why? Because this is the only hope and the only chance that he has in his life to be healed of his blindness. He's heard that the Messiah is coming this way, sitting on the side of the road. And so, notice with me now in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, notice, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So he's crying out, wanting to get the Lord's attention, and they're trying to get him to be quiet, and he just gets louder. I preached on this probably 20 or so years ago here in the church, and I had a cane. I probably shouldn't have done it. Was it the other table? Yeah, it's this table over here. There's marks. I didn't even realize doing this, but I had this cane and I was hitting that table and crying out, you know, like the blind man wanting him. And I put dents all on one leg of that table over there. I didn't even realize that until after it was done. But he's crying out. He's desperate. And so notice the remaining few verses from verse 49, and we will close here in this text. But he said here in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, arise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Again, Here's a not only a prayer, but a crying out in desperation. This is his only hope. There's no other hope. And so he cries. They try to shut him up. He cries louder. He was going to let nothing get in between him and the Messiah. And because of that, he received healing here this day. So I want to close our 6 week that we started out 4 weeks, our 6 week series. Always happens that way, don't it? Close out our 6 week series with the subject of crying out unto God.